I'd like to call the meeting together at this time, the Board of Supervisors meeting of August 24th. Well, now, also I'd like everyone stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now is the time for public comment, and we will accept public comments on issues within the, the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. And if any individual wishes to address the board on an item on the agenda, please hold the comment until that time. I do have a request from Suzanne Beasley. Is that correct? Oh, yes. Come forward.
Good morning, supervisors. Good morning, audience. Susan Mendieta Beasley, a native Modestan, and I'm here to invite all of you to the annual Celebration of Cultures and American Heritage in Modesto, which is the International Festival, on Saturday, October 2. You are all cordially invited, as are all the members of our communities from throughout our county. It's a day of free family fun. It's educational, lots of activity, and of course, we celebrate our mission, which is twofold. We celebrate the many cultures in our county and our surrounding areas, but we also celebrate what brings us together, which is our American heritage. And of course, we have a wonderful opening ceremony, traditional Americana opening, and that we specifically invite you to come join us. We would love to introduce all of you who are there. We also want to say thank you to you for allowing us use of the county courthouse, which is wonderful. That will become our kids' area. And we also use the parking lot, which becomes our food vendor area. We have many generous sponsors, and we're very appreciative to them. Without their help, we would not be able to continue having this event. And I know that in these economic times, it's hard for anyone to make sponsorships and those type of donations. So we're very appreciative to that. We're appreciative to in-kind support, use of the facilities, here in the county, and again, invite you to join us. And I did bring some little flyers that I can leave here, and we just really invite you to come join us. And it's so special because even our Boy Scouts, our local Boy Scouts, they have a very special badge that they make just for the International Festival. We have Girl Scouts that will be there. Just a very fun time for all. Thank you very much.
What time is your event?
It is all day at the Gallo Arts Center, starting at 11 a.m. with the opening ceremony, and we go till 5 p.m. And we invite you to join us any time during the day, but again, especially during the Americana opening in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments? We will now go to the consent calendar, and we'll be asking for consent. Is there anyone that wishes to pull anything? If not, I take a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Passed and approved. At this time, we will go to issue at the 905, which will be item B8. At the 9:05 a.m., that will be on the public hearing, consider the approval of the fiscal year 2010-11. Pardon me.
Good morning, Vice Chair Montes, Supervisors, CEO Robinson, Council Dorning, Sonia Herigfeld, the Director of Parks and Recreation. With me this morning is Margarita Ramos, the Deputy Director for Parks and Recreation. 1972, there was legislation, Landscape and Lighting District, which provides a procedure for creating assessment districts for the purposes of the operation and maintaining services, specifically landscape services, in very specific areas. On June 12, 1990, the Board of Supervisors ordered the formation of the Del Rio Heights Landscape Assessment District. On March 1, 1994, the Parks and Recreation Department assumed landscape maintenance responsibilities for the Del Rio Heights Landscape District. This district consists of 43 parcels, 42 of which are residential dwellings and one which is a storm drain basin. Each residential parcel has an equivalent to one benefit unit. Based on the equivalent benefit unit methodology, the public storm drain parcel is assessed at 0.172 EBUs or $18.40. Levied on each residential parcel is assessed at, or is proposed to be assessed at $106.99. The purpose for providing landscape, the purpose of the assessment is to provide landscape maintenance services to a very specific area. This specific area is Stewart Road and at Stewart and McHenry. And we've got just a couple of photos here of the area. And at this point, I'd like to turn the balance of the presentation over to Margarita.
Good morning. Some of the services or services we provide to this area include watering, plant, tree, shrub care, weed abatement, debris, trash, leaf removal, irrigation system maintenance, the payment of utilities, graffiti abatement and vandalism repairs, insect disease control, and backflow inspection. So what happened? In 04-05, there was a surplus in the account of about $24,000. What we ended up doing is basically there was no assessment collected since then, and so we come back to the board today in order to collect that assessment. The assessment at that time was credited to each parcel owner. The fund balance had been sufficiently low due to low labor costs. For fiscal year 2010-11, unfortunately, there was a negative balance seen in the amount of $5,297. And unfortunately, this was an error in my forecasting of staff costs. We had used low labor costs, and with the changes made in our budget, our costs became a little bit higher. We did speak with the HOA president. We have discussed the partnering with the Del Rio Homeowners Association to identify and minimize expenses to address the deficit. With that partnership forming, we are going to be discussing with each parcel owner of the 42 residential parcels the ability to help volunteer in this area to keep those costs low. In doing so, it is hoped that by 2012-13 we won't see a deficit with the volunteer services. This little area, again, the biggest cost is probably leaf pickup. So with some help from our homeowners, we should be okay. Our considerations are find that the public hearing notice was published in compliance with Section 6061 of the Government Code. We to conduct the public hearing to receive comments regarding the fiscal year 2010-11 annual assessment for the Del Rio Heights Landscape Assessment District. To set the fiscal year 2010-11 annual assessment as shown on Attachment A in the Board Report for the Del Rio Heights Landscape Assessment District. To approve the engineer's report as shown in Attachment B as part of the record of proceedings. To authorize the auditor controller to add the annual assessment to the 2010-11 tax roll, and to adopt a resolution ordering the levy and collection of the charges from the Del Rio Heights Landscape Assessment District for fiscal year 2010-11. Got that? Are there any questions?
If there are no questions at this point, we'll open a public hearing for public testimony. Anyone in the audience wish to speak on this subject? We'll close the public hearing and bring it back to the board.
Make a motion that we adopt the six recommendations, staff recommendations.
Is there a second?
A second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those in opposition? Approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now we will go to item D8.
As staff begins to set up for this presentation, I would like to take just a couple of minutes to comment on the fourth annual report on Board of Supervisors Priority Team Outcomes. This will be for a safe community, healthy community, a strong local economy, a strong agricultural heritage, and economy, well-planned infrastructure system, and the efficient delivery of public services. We are all fond of saying, Stanislaus County has adopted vision to be the best county in America. In order to be the best at anything, one must plan and execute. And in very challenging economic times, we tend to forget that we need to plan and execute. And we tend to forget that we need to measure our successes, identify our failures, regroup, and reorient ourselves and continue to move forward. These are extremely challenging times. However, the adoption of the board priorities and the use of the priority groups to work to stimulate discussions that can lead to productive and successful outcomes for the benefit of our organization, for the benefit of our community, are critical, particularly at this time of limited resources. So I want to compliment and commend the departments that have been actively involved and engaged in defining and managing and leading an organization to a destiny other than mediocrity. So for those of you who worked actively and tirelessly in this effort, I want to express my congratulations to you. The seven board priorities are a safe community, healthy community, strong local economy, strong agricultural economy, heritage, well-planned infrastructure system, and efficient delivery of public services. The other is effective partnerships that will come to you in the next agenda item. To ensure the implementation, each board priority has a team of department heads and representatives working together to develop goals, performance measures, and expected outcomes. Each of our three assistant executive officers have a direct responsibility for the leadership of our priority groups. Patty Hill Thomas is responsible to the Healthy Community and Effective Partnerships Priority Group. Monica Nino, Safe Community and Efficient Delivery of Public Services. Stan Rison, Strong Local Economy, Strong Agricultural Economy and Heritage, and a Well-Planned Infrastructure System. Hopefully, as you look at these roles and responsibilities, you'll see a correlation in and among the responsibilities of the assistant executive officers and the departments with whom they work on a day-to-day basis. Each team is responsible for monitoring results, reporting results annually to the Board of Supervisors. This year, we have elected to streamline this process somewhat. Such of the priority team presentations have been combined, and that's what you will hear this morning. The presentation represents the annual report on annual outcomes achieved for fiscal year 2009-10 for the working groups that you see here. In your agenda packet, you also find outcome reports submitted by each priority team that contains the outcomes achieved for the goals and measures adopted in fiscal year 2009-10. In today's presentation, you'll see a more limited focus on just a few of the priority goals established and the outcomes achieved. And I would encourage you to look fully at the report that's in your packets. The first priority team to present is a safe community, and our own district attorney, Bert Flatterger, will share highlights of this team effort.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's my pleasure to kick this off this morning, and in the interest of streamlining, it is actually a very brief presentation. The priority team for Safe Community consists of Emmett Patton for Animal Services, Gary Hinshaw for the Office of Emergency Services, myself, Jerry Powers for Probation, Tim Pizarro, Public Defender, and Adam Christensen for the Sheriff. Our priority team goals were to demonstrate responsiveness to reported trends in criminal activity, improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the criminal justice system, ensure local and regional disaster preparedness, and promote public awareness. And I think you'll see from the written report that we actually have done very well in each of these areas and met many of our goals. What I'm going to focus on this morning is really on a collaborative and enhanced focus on combating gang violence, which is of paramount concern to all of us, and also to focus a tad on the how we've been working together to identify areas to streamline and enhance services that we provide to the community and to crime victims. Of primary importance, I think, in the last year was the gang injunction, because that was a multi-agency effort to implement. It was the district attorney's office, the sheriff's department, Modesto Police Department, and the probation, all working together to pull the resources together, gather the data, and get that injunction in place through the courts. It is an ongoing collaboration to enforce now that it is, in fact, in place. Again, work very well done by the sheriff's department, patrol deputies who work that area, Modesto Police Department officers, probation, and, of course, deputy district attorneys who prosecute the violations in court. And in addition, it is a, if you go back one slide, the very last part, we receive a lot of community and business support. I get anecdotal reports on a frequent basis that the folks in that community see a tremendous difference. They're pleased with what they're seeing. It's a safer place to them. They feel to live. And then we also get feedback from other areas basically saying, when do we get a gang injunction? Okay. And then the next area to talk about is, again, related to combating gang violence. We are participating as county agencies in the Modesto Police Department's Project SAFE. It is a CalGRIP-funded operation. They have call-ins, which you've perhaps been reading about in the paper, where they bring in gang members and essentially say, we're going to come after you. You know, the violence stops here, it stops now, or we're coming after you. The Sheriff's Department participates in that, probation also, and in fact, probation helps identify the gang members they're going to bring in and target. We also participate in the call-ins. We actually have conversations with these people basically saying, we're going to come after you with a very heavy hammer if you don't stop. So we participate in the initial call-in, and then there's target enforcement after the fact. So the gang members that continue to violate the law become very significant targets for law enforcement and for prosecutors. Probation Department has implemented an electronic gang monitoring of gang members, and that's been very effective in terms of tracking these people and letting them know that they're being watched. One other area in terms of collaborative efforts and streamlining resources and better delivery of services to the people in the community is the Family Justice Center, which we've been talking about off and on now for many years. I'm very happy to announce that we are anticipating a grand opening of that center on October 22nd, and there'll be more information forthcoming. But that, again, is a collaborative effort. DA's office, probation, all local law enforcement agencies, police departments, behavioral health, county departments, the Women's Haven, public and private agencies, and very, very little, or actually I should even say no, additional county funds are going to this program. So it's been a very creative approach to dealing with victims of crime, and it's one that I think we'll be able to sustain, and that will actually, as a collaboration, mean less money being spent in order to provide the services that need to be provided so they're more effectively done. Challenges, budget, personnel, and morale for all of our departments. I don't really need to say much more than that, other than as department heads, we're well aware of it and we're working on it. We saw these coming in to this year, and in fact the year prior, it focused us, so we had to change some of our goals going into the coming year, so there's some changes. And we recognize we need to continue to provide the services we're providing, given the challenges that we have. Special thanks to our board priority advisor, Supervisor Jeff Grover, and Supervisor Bill O'Brien, and Assistant Executive Officer Monica Nino. So, thank you all. Next up, Denise Hunt.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about the Healthy Community Priority Team, which is made up of Aging and Veterans Services with Margie Palomino, myself, Tamara Thomas from Child Support Services, Christine Applegate from Community Services Agency, and Mary Ann Lee from the Health Services Agency. We have a single goal in our priority team, which is to promote and provide access to services that support continued health, self-sufficiency, accountability, protection, and independence based upon available funding and current regulations. We have five measures within that goal, which are all about promoting health, self-sufficiency, accountability, protection, and independence. I'm going to talk about just one piece of the work that this priority group does, and I'm going to talk about our Mental Health Services Act Prevention and Early Intervention Plan from my department. This is a complex of community-based programming supporting emotional health and wellness. And the plan itself came out of over a year of extensive community-based planning. This is all state funding. It's new funding. Mental health has not had prevention funding since the early 1980s. So this is part of the Mental Health Services Act's efforts to turn a system around from a fail-first system where you need to get really, really ill before you can access any services to more of a help-first system by investing in some prevention and early intervention programming in communities. There are two overarching initiatives in our prevention and early intervention plan. The first has to do with community capacity building. You've heard me talk before about the fact that we have recognized now for several years that our department and actually county government can't go it alone in terms of delivering emotional health and wellness to our community. We need to look toward our communities for understanding what is working well, how people are supporting one another, and use our resources to fill in the gap for what we think of as high-end need, but then also to leverage the resources that we have for prevention and early intervention to support our communities and what they do so well already. The second initiative is related to results-based accountability, which is a method of looking at outcomes with the question, is anyone better off, being at the core of everything that we plan and do. Our prevention and early intervention project funds 18 new programs. The balance of these are by contract, not to our department, but out to community-based providers and other county agencies. So we've had a very busy year because bringing up 18 new community-based programs and contracts is a lot of administrative work. We've done all of the requests for qualifications, and 100% of them have been identified. The challenges for our group have to do with significant funding changes at the state level. Most of our funding in the Healthy Community Priority Team comes from state and federal funding, and we are seeing and have seen and will see significant funding changes both structurally and in terms of decreased amounts in funding for services. This is in the context of increased community need, and so part of what we talk about in our group is joining together and joining with our communities to learn new ways of meeting our shared goals. It's no longer a matter for us of delivering services and having that be the end of it. It can't be government's role solely to support and provide our program work, and we truly need to learn to work together with our communities to identify what's important to us all and inspire action toward that. I want to give special thanks to our board priority advisors, supervisors Grover and O'Brien, and also to the assistant executive officer, Patty Hill-Thomas, who meets with us on a regular basis. And it's my pleasure to introduce next, for Strong Local Economy, Jeff Rowe, the director of Alliance WorkNet.
Good morning, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. My pleasure to make the annual report on behalf of the members of the Strong Local Economy team. In addition to myself, the team consists of Keith Boggs from the Chief Executive Office Economic Development Division, Vanessa Zopek from the Library, Kirk Ford, Planning and Community Development, Sonia Herrickville, Parks and Recreation, Kirk Clark with the Alliance, and Leanne Hogestraw with the Alliance. The goals of the Strong Local Economy team are to facilitate job creation, promote an attractive regional environment, and promote adequate and affordable housing. In order to have a strong local economy, the conditions must exist that make it possible for existing businesses to thrive and expand, for new businesses to start up and grow, and for businesses and industry to choose to locate in our community. In addition, local workers must possess the skills necessary to meet the workforce needs of the businesses. The local workforce must also have access to adequate and affordable housing. The Strong Local Economy team helps to assure that these conditions that provide the framework for a strong local economy exist in our community. The Strong Local Economy team has been active this year in the areas of business park development, business retention efforts, workforce preparation, technology training, public facility fee review, enterprise zone expansion, economic development, bank loans, and tourist attraction. However, in the interest of time, this morning's presentation will focus on the areas of services to businesses, services to job seekers, and housing rehabilitation. starting with services to businesses. In partnership with the Alliance and Alliance Small Business Development Center, existing and startup businesses are receiving expert counseling that they need to be successful. In addition to the ongoing classes and counseling provided to local businesses, the SBDC launched the new Stanislaus Employer Assistance Program this year, funded by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Through this program, to date, 28 employers who are at risk of laying off employees have received intensive consultant services aimed at strengthening those businesses and helping them to avoid layoffs. Some of the results of the SBDC's efforts are listed on the slide before you. Next, talk about services to job seekers. The Alliance WorkNet has been very busy this year, helping unemployed county residents be prepared for and connect with the limited job opportunities that exist in the community right now. Over 13,000 individuals have made over 57,000 visits to our career resource centers to receive assistance with their employment efforts, and we have enrolled and provided intensive one-on-one career counseling services to almost 2,000 eligible job seekers in the past year. This is about double the number that we usually serve, and we were able to do that through an infusion of ARRA funds this year. While more people are receiving an increased level of services, as depicted in the slides before you, job placement rates are lower than projected. I think this is a manifestation of the really deep and ongoing impact that the recession has had on Stanislaus County and the Central Valley in general. Strategies for the upcoming year to increase those placement rates include the provision of some pretty significant incentives for employers that are able to hire people and train them on the job. We will be able to provide them some wage reimbursements and incentives that we think will be very beneficial to them and will result in getting some more of our clients hired. Next, I'll talk a little bit about the housing services and the neighborhood stabilization program. The Planning and Community Development Department has contributed to the maintenance of a strong local economy through the neighborhood stabilization program. Through this program, 61 homes, many in various stages of foreclosure, were acquired and have been rehabilitated or are in the process of being rehabilitated. In addition to the standard rehabilitation work completed on these units, 24 of the homes will receive solar electricity systems and home weatherization work that is funded through a fairly innovative program that took advantage of a variety of ARRA funding sources. This innovative program provided an opportunity for dislocated workers, most of them that were in the construction industry previously, to get training at Modesto Junior College, followed up with hands-on training at working on these housing units in partnership with the Housing Authority and First Light Energy Corporation. So they received intensive training in the green occupations of solar panel installation and home weatherization, and now they are in the process of finding employment in that industry. The Neighborhood Stabilization Program benefits the local economy by reducing blight, assisting first-time home buyers in the purchase of homes, and providing economic benefit to local workers, material suppliers, and small businesses. In summary, the Strong Local Economy team has been successful in assisting the endeavors to improve the local economy by providing services to businesses to help them start, grow, and create jobs, and by providing services to job seekers that help them prepare for the jobs that exist, and by providing the workforce with affordable, rehabilitated housing. However, challenges. Despite these efforts, the economy in Stanislaus County is not strong. This is documented by the recent news that our unemployment rate currently stands at 17.6%. While there's nothing new about the fact that the San Joaquin Valley historically has some of the highest unemployment rates in the country, what is new and concerning is where Stanislaus County ranks among the other seven counties in the valley. In the past, we were usually about in the middle of the pack in terms of unemployment rates. The last couple of years, we have gotten worse, and we are actually close to the bottom of that pack. We used to be able to pretty much count on having a better unemployment rate than Tulare and Merced counties. Tulare County is beginning to reap the benefits of their successful Measure R transportation tax initiative. They're leveraging those funds to obtain millions of other dollars in federal funds that they're using for projects that make Tulare County a better place to do business. In fact, Tulare County officials estimate that through the use of those funds that 10,000 new jobs are going to be created. And Tulare County now consistently has a lower unemployment rate than Stanislaus County. Merced County has begun to see the economic benefits of the location of UC Merced. UC campuses are proven job generators, and Merced will experience this as the campus continues to grow and the student population grows and businesses start to support that campus. In addition, Merced has positioned itself favorably to be selected for a maintenance facility for the California High-Speed Rail project, a facility that is expected to result in hundreds of new jobs. And while the unemployment rate in Merced County continues to be higher than that of Stanislaus, that rate is narrowing, so that Merced is actually catching up to us. So what does that mean for us in Stanislaus County? The answer is, unless we are able to take bold steps that result in our community becoming a more desirable place for businesses to locate, start up, and expand, we will end up with the dubious distinction of having the worst unemployment problem among one of the worst regions in the country. On behalf of the 42,500 unemployed residents in Stanislaus County, it's my sincere desire that our community recognize the challenge before us, that we make every effort to understand how and why businesses create jobs, and that we take every action necessary to provide an environment that allows them to do so. And with that, I'd like to thank our advisors, Supervisor Monty, and Assistant Executive Officer Stan Risen. And it's my pleasure to introduce Ag Commissioner Gary Casseri to make the presentation for the Strong Agricultural Economy and Heritage Team.
Thank you. Good morning. The Strong Agricultural Economy and Heritage Priority Team consists of course, myself, Ed Perry, who recently retired, and Kathy Anderson, who is his replacement, and also Kirk Ford, who is the planning director. The priority team goals for Strong Ag Economy Heritage consist of supporting and promoting agricultural products, education, technology, and innovation, protecting agricultural resources, and a big one on the radar these days is managing threats to agriculture. I'm going to cover three outcomes. I'll try to do it briefly. One outcome we had recently had to do with the Ag Commissioner partner with Stanislaus State, principally Dr. Bender with Stanislaus State, Stanislaus County Farm Bureau, UC Cooperative Extension, and other stakeholders to hold its first Ag Adventure program with over 1,000 third graders and their teachers. San Joaquin County also has a program. It's called Ag Venture, and for the first time we started this program, and of course we had to change the name of it to call it Ag Adventure. Very successful. The program provided hands-on agricultural education to elementary students and of course their teachers. Students learned, among other things, about agriculture, the important role that soil, water, and air play in producing healthy plants and food. Another outcome that we had this year, this past year, had to do with we developed a web-based pesticide permit file system. This system allows web access to restricted material permit files in our office to growers, pesticide dealers, pest control advisors, and department staff. Provides accurate, up-to-date permit. This system is accurate, up-to-date permit, increases compliance with the accuracy of inspections, overall reduction in staff time in handling files. Certainly saves customers time by not having to come into the office or contact the department to get a copy of the permit or fax a copy of the permit to them. And it certainly provides an off-site backup copy of critical paper files in our office. The last outcome that I wanted to report this time had to do with we utilized GPS devices to we developed an electronic pest detection trapping system. We used GPS units to plot trap locations for the red imported fire ant, European grapevine moth, and Asian citrus psyllid pest detection programs. Currently, entire records for these three major pests are maintained on tablet computers, so we've gone electronic, which is really efficient. We did this by developing it at a low cost using free software and used computers. We trap location, the trap location mapping utilizes detailed aerial photography rather than hand-drawn maps. Again, it's very efficient and time and saves time. Future plans are to expand this system to all of our target pests, and we have plenty. Before I give special thanks to folks, I wanted to briefly mention a challenge that we have coming up. A biggest challenge, it has to do with continuing to manage threats to agriculture, especially in difficult budgetary times and dwindling resources. Currently, we here in San Jose County are surrounded by a variety of destructive agricultural pests, at least the introduction of those destructive ag pests. We have light brown apple moth and European grapevine moth introductions in San Joaquin County. We have European grapevine moth introduction in Merced County. We have glassy wing sharpshooter finds in Madera County. We have melon flies in Kern County. And we have light brown apple moth, glassy wing sharpshooter, and European grapevine moth in Fresno County. We are getting surrounded, and it's quite a concern for us. I don't know whether we're doing something right or we're just darn lucky, but so far so good, knock on wood. I'd like to give special thanks to our board priority advisors, Supervisor Jim DeMartini and Supervisor Vito Chiesa, and of course, Assistant CEO Stan Risen. With that, I'd like to introduce Matt Machado, the presenter for the Well-Planned Infrastructure System.
Thank you, Gary. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring. I'm proud to represent the Well-Planned Infrastructure team. Our team consists of three departments. Sonia Herrickfeld represents Environmental Resources. Kirk Ford represents Planning and Community Development, and myself representing Public Works. This morning, I'd like to share with you our four goals. We have ensure reliable water source, quality and quantity is our first goal, improve transportation circulation is a second goal, promote effective solid waste disposal is the third goal, and develop a comprehensive flood control strategy is the fourth goal. This morning, I'd like to highlight just three of our outcomes, two of them from goal one, and one of them from goal number four. Our Keys storm drain project, which is a outcome from goal number four, has been very successful. It was funded by Redevelopment Agency. It is currently completed. In fact, the last portion of the work is being completed today. They're seeding one of the smaller parts. 90% of the improvements are actually completed 6 months ahead of schedule, which is excellent. People were able to reap the benefits of the new infrastructure very early on. Construction costs came in under budget. We're actually $2 million less than the engineer's estimate, and we have completed the project within budget and ahead of schedule. The next outcome I'd like to share with the board is our pervious concrete. It was a pilot study that we conducted to develop a stormwater management standard for the county. Some of the benefits of pervious concrete is that it is a tool to aid the development community. It does reduce stormwater pollution. It recharges groundwater. It has potential of saving money from land costs, lighting, monitoring, and capital costs. And it is attractive and durable. One item for more information about our pervious concrete pilot study and our latest newsletter from Public Works, which I did provide a copy to each of you this morning. On page 3, there's a very nice article about the pervious concrete in the pilot study and some of the benefits. Additionally, on that article, we do have a web link to a 15-minute video showing the benefits and how it works in actuality. And this morning, we've carved that 15-minute video down to about 40 seconds, and we'd like to share that with the board at this time.
what you see here is a water truck dumping, we dumped about 4,000 gallons in one location on a test slab, pervious test slab at our Morgan yard. The test slab is about 20 feet by 120 feet, so it's a large slab. And you can see after 15 minutes of flowing this water onto the concrete, it neither did it puddle nor did it run off. It went through the concrete. It percolated into the ground beneath it. This, we feel like, is the way of the future, even though it's been done for many years. With the standards that we're developing, it will really improve our water quality system, and it'll help our development community to be more effective and efficient. So the next outcome I'd like to share with the board is a non-potable well project. We weren't able to absolutely complete this outcome on time, on schedule, due to staffing reductions. We do have two wells that are still in process to be completed. The wells are designed, and we are reviewing those designs. We anticipate that the construction will be complete in 2011. Real briefly on this non-potable project, these are relatively shallow groundwater wells that will irrigate the park system, thereby preserving the deeper groundwater system for drinking water. So this is not only an environmentally positive thing to do, it will also save monies because we won't be irrigating our parks with expensive drinking water. And so with that, I'd like to give special thanks to our board priority advisors, Supervisor Monteith and Supervisor Chiesa, and also thanks to Assistant Executive Officer Stan Risen. With that, I'd like to introduce Marcia Cunningham. She's the Director of SBT and will be representing Efficient Delivery of Public Services.
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here and speak on behalf of the Efficient Delivery of Public Services team. And our priority team is made up of Doug Harms from the Assessor's Department, Larry Ha, Auditor Controller, Paul Gibson, Chief Information Officer, Jody Hayes from the Executive Office, David Jones, again from the Executive Office, David Delano, Risk Management, Christine Ferrero, Clerk of the Board, Lee Lundergan, Clerk Recorder, Jack Doring, County Counsel, Julie Medford, GSA, myself, and Gordon Ford, Treasurer Tax Collector. Our priority team goals are to improve customer satisfaction, increase e-government or electronic services and transaction, improve the efficiency of county government processes, and improve energy efficiencies. I'm going to talk about two highlights of our accomplishments that we have done over the past year, although there are more. And the first item is the voluntary option to suppress printing of advice notices for people who receive direct deposits of their paychecks. The wage statement is required under the California Code 226, and it's to be provided to all employees. It doesn't necessarily, does not require in all cases that advice be printed or physically distributed to employees, as long as they have a way to electronically access it through a stored system. Out of our 3,917 employee advices that are created, there are a total of 2,557 employees who actually qualify to access their statement electronically, which means they don't have to necessarily have that advice printed or distributed to them. It was offered to these employees as a voluntary option to suppress the printing of the advice notice, and a total of 2,365 employees has opted to have that the advice notice printed. Instead, the payroll distributes these to the employees, and it's done completely via electronic media. The employees receive an electronic copy of the advice notice via their county email prior to payday. And employees also have the ability to access current and prior advice notices through the county's self-service payroll system feature. Some of the advantages of this is, of course, we eliminate the physical handling and distribution of the notices, which saves time. We eliminate costs by not having to pay for postage in the mailings for those that used to be mailed. And, of course, there would be a reduction in printing costs such as on toner and paper. As we move forward, we want to encourage the volunteering of suppression of the advice notice to leverage these efficiencies, and we would like to continue to negotiate with labor groups for a mandatory suppression of the notice printing. The second item that I'd like to talk about is voice over IP, which currently it enables the county to leverage an infrastructure that's already been put in place. We have the ability to replace aging telecommunications equipment, replace services for those that are leveraging outside sources as their telecommunications services, which an advantage to that is to keep those revenues in-house, use a system that's in place, and not send the money outside. It provides a more reliable support of telecommunications services, gives greater flexibility in first and features. It provides failover to ensure in emergencies that we have a way to failover and have a dual system there in place. To date, we've been able to implement 1,874 VoIP phones, which accounts for about 30.27% of the overall county telecommunications needs. Another big accomplishment with VoIP over IP was we did a pilot on an open source product that would allow us to leverage a solution to provide voicemail. Why was this such a big accomplishment? Because it was successful. It's been implemented into production. We're utilizing it. And the solution has actually has a one-time cost saving of $81,575 and a continued annual saving of $29,695. As we move forward with VoIP, what does that mean? It means we continue to not have to buy the one-time license costs and pay for annual maintenance and support reoccurring costs, which reoccurring costs, it adds up over time, so that's a big advantage. One thing I think that is important to note about voice over IP is that we've been fortunate during these tough economic times. I know some are probably wondering, how do we pay for that? There's been a number of ways that we've been successful at it, and actually the departments countywide, leveraging grants. There's been a number of grants, so we've had no out-of-pocket in some situations, and they've leveraged public facilities fees, along with we do have some balance that has been set aside because we do have legacy systems that we have replaced, and it's just good business practice to plan for that in the needs of the future. So we've been very strategic in what we've done with VoIP and only do it when it's the right decision and the funding is there to make it happen. Challenges from the employee advice notice side of it, employees that may not necessarily have access to computers, or an individual preference to simply, I want to get that physical advice, and some do like to do that. Voice over IP implementation, not that necessarily it's a challenge, but I think it's what we need to continue to do to seek opportunities that will allow leveraging open source product solutions for throughout the county, not just with VoIP, but in applications and other areas. And to continue to leverage VoIP during tough economic times and use wise funding sources during these limited times. I'd like to give special thanks to our board priority advisor, Bill O'Brien, and Assistant Executive Officer, Monica Nino, for leading our group. That concludes the presentation, and we are all available for any questions that you may have.
Are there any comments by the board? Supervisor DeMartini.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is quite a good report. There's, and what we received was a lot more detailed than the presentation here. And this has come a long way since its first inception. When you have clear goals and priorities and ways to measure. I mean, you can accomplish a lot, and I think this is was an excellent report, and we've really come a long ways. Very, very satisfied with it.
Supervisor O'Brien? With all the doom and gloom we've been talking about in the last year with budgets and layoffs and all the rest that we've had to do, I think it's important to take the time this morning and go over just a handful of the many accomplishments that we've been able to achieve this year. And I really think the highlight that we need to highlight is our workforce. We have a lot of dedicated, hardworking employees who've taken a pay cut this year. And because of all the layoffs and staff reductions we've done, their individual workload has increased. So we're expecting more work out of our workforce and paying them less. And I just want our workforce to know this board appreciates the hard work that each and every employee does. And these accomplishments are just a handful of the many accomplishments we've been able to achieve in these very dire budget times. And I just want that word to get back out to all of our employees that we do appreciate all the hard work.
I also would like to jump on the bandwagon, as both of you have stated, both supervisors. We appreciate a great deal what you've done. We know that you've made sacrifices, and yet you've been able to accomplish what we need to get done and also realize that our battle is not over. So we want to commend you, and we want to thank you very, very much. You're a special group of people. Stanislaus County has been able to address the challenges because of each and every one of you. And we want to thank you. Is there a motion to accept the presentation?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Those opposed? Been moved and passed. At this time, we now go on to item B9, staff report.
Good morning, Vice Chairman Monteith, board members, CEO Robinson, County Council Doring. My name is Lori Hall. I'm the County Auditor Controller and a member of the Effective Partnership Board Priority Team. Other members are Gary Henshaw, Chief Executive Office, Emergency Services, Tamara Thomas, Child Support Services, Christine Applegate, Community Services Agency, Sonia Herringfeld, Department of Environmental Resources,
also
Vanessa Zopek, County Librarian. I'd like to thank especially Christy Allman, who facilitates our meetings, keeps us on track, and Patty Hill Thomas, who provides the necessary leadership of the group. And finally, in specifically, I'd like to thank Supervisor Dick Monteith for being our Board of Supervisor representative. The details of the 2009-10 outcomes for the board priority are included in the staff report today. One specific outcome we're focused on today is highlighting exceptional partnerships through an awards process. To put the award into context, a brief explanation is necessary. The two partnerships recognized today really make a difference, and often we only focus on problems or issues, but today is different. These awards focus on two separate and distinct partnerships. All county departments were invited to nominate their partners for these awards. Six county departments submitted applications for the Effective Partnership Recognition Award. To provide objectivity, a separate selection committee was formed to pick the winners. You'll hear a little more a little later about the dedicated members of this committee. The selection committee read and evaluated each application. The applications were invited for interviews, and these interviews were thoughtful, thorough, and engaging. The nomination committee then selected the two partnerships that are going to be recognized today. And I want to personally thank the selection committee, my team members, and the winners themselves. The first recipient to be recognized today is the Stanislaus County Food Processing Byproduct Use Program. It was submitted by the Department of Environmental Resources. The second recipient of this year's award is the Stanislaus County Metro Program submitted by the Chief Executive Office, Economic Development. A video has been prepared in recognition of the winners today, and I'd like to thank Kim Martinez, and Leo Mendoza for creating this visual presentation. Please join me now in watching a short video highlighting today's winners.
Agricultural Valley here, a community. Back in 1978, we were experiencing a lot of problems with the disposal of the residue that came out of our food processing industry facilities. Specifically, being disposed of at the landfill was creating a lot of not only handling problems, but nuisance problems for the community, specifically flies and odor primarily. So we needed to change that because it just wasn't working. The program takes the material that was previously disposed of at the landfill and found beneficial ways to reuse the material. Instead of disposing of the material in the landfill and taking up valuable landfill space and creating problems doing that, the material now goes to a variety of different locations, including direct animal feeding, where it's mixed with food commodities. It also goes to drying operations and also goes to the land spread as a soil amendment. Basically, we had to form a partnership with the local processors, the local haulers, the folks that would become the site operators, and the regulators, meaning the county, to figure out solutions and a process to go through to permit the different sites in a manner that would not result in nuisance conditions. To date, we have diverted 8 million tons of these products countywide. That's over a 32-year period. We have also controlled the disposal costs of getting rid of the material for the processors. We reduced the cost to our local growers through feed costs and chemical fertilizers. This program is really important to our strong local agricultural community and economy, and it's also important because we haven't had a nuisance issue since the program's inception.
We had been operating the program adequately for many years and in compliance with any regulations that existed at the time, and then concerns about salt became an issue for groundwater protection in our county. And so to be sure that our program was still protective and beneficial, we needed to scientifically prove that to the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And also formed a partnership with the California State University Fresno Foundation, their California Agriculture Technology Institute, also known as CATI. And their scientific researchers worked alongside with us to prove scientifically that the food processing byproducts that were applied to land were not going to be harmful to the surface water, groundwater in our county. All partners in this program have seen the benefit of helping preserve our agriculture and helping to also protect our agricultural economy and our food processing industry. That is all very strong in Stanislaus County, and they all see the importance, and we're all very happy to help support the program and the research that was required to help the program continue, because it is beneficial for the environment to have this program in place. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has contacted me, and our consultants have contacted me inquiring about the program. They do feel it is a model program of the state. It is the only program, the only formal program of its kind within the state. And when the Regional Water Quality Control Board has contacted me, they have inquired about different clients they know of that may benefit from being a part of our program. And it is definitely a benchmarkable program. In the future, we do hope that this research that we've conducted, which will be final by August 31st of this year, 2010, we do hope to see that the research is also utilized for future programs that are utilized throughout the state to help show what does help protect our groundwater and surface water.
Particularly in these tough economic times that we're in right now, some of our local industries and the ag community operate on such thin margins as it is. If it were not for programs like this, we would lose even more industry and jobs in our local area. And what we offer is a solution that's a beneficial solution, and as opposed to excessive regulation. We're out there to help our growers and help our industry be successful.
County Nature Program started as a pilot in the fall of 1998. It became program January 1, 1999. Over 400 county employees have participated since inception. Approximately 90 this year, last year 93. In the public sector, there's been a lot of example of employee nature programming. For the most part, they ramp up with a lot of excitement and vim and vigor. But about the 24-month mark, they seem to fizzle away. And that's what's made ours such a unique program, because we're in our 12th year. We will start our 13th year January 1, 2011. And over 11,700 hours of lunchtime, after work, on the weekend time, employee personal time, have been invested in the other people in our community.
And what's great about that is some of the kids really need somebody at school who's going to be there regularly to make a connection with them, and it really seems to work well that way. The teachers tend to really appreciate it because they get to pick who the students are and put their names forward, and so they've chosen kids that they think can use the extra help. And for them, it's just another resource that really, for them, they don't really see so much what happens on the other side, but they do see the effects of it, and generally, they're just pleased to have them connected. And it doesn't take out of class time, which is really, that's not like most health programs.
So we identified 3rd and 4th graders, but the thing that was sustaining was we also built a team-based model. So up to 3 people, after the team, and for lack of a better word, adopt a young person for the school year, we go twice a week, 40-minute sessions. And so someone who has a hectic schedule, someone in leadership, we've had 6 department heads participate over the years. And we've had multiple supervisors on board participate, and have actually one that has participated this last year, Supervisor Casey. A typical mentoring session is, again, it's 40 minutes of time. I've brought in books that I used to read to my own children. You know, I love reading Stone Soup. You know, making all the sounds, you know. And so I would read those types of books. And, you know, you get to that point 3 or 5 sessions in where you offer, you want to read a page, and they say yes, and you know you have them. Successes for the kids, I think the number one data set that is so much and so telling is there's a 90% increase in attendance. Truancy goes away. And you know, half the battle, we've all heard this all our lives, half the battle is education is showing up. And so these kids start to come to school. And they start to come to school because they know someone's there for them. And that sounds a bit corny maybe, but over the last 12 years now, we've got the data to support that. So that's what's in it for the kids. There's some self-confidence building, self-esteem building, obviously skills building, someone there just for them that cares about them. For the employees, I would argue that we get out more of it than what the kids do.
You know, how could 30 minutes or 45 minutes once a week of my time make a difference in a child's life? But by the end of the program, I could visually see the difference and hear the child read better. The reading changed, the vocabulary was so much better, and then I was told by the reading specialist that the improvement was more than one grade level. I've gotten a lot of self-gratification out of watching these children grow, and it just warms my heart to know that I made a difference in their life. It's about the kids. I think people should all be involved, and I think if everyone gets involved, our community would be so much different, because these are the children that are going to be taken care of when we get older.
We partnered, or I've mentioned the Volunteer Center of the United Way. They've been a partner since inception. In addition to that, several years ago, the Macerich Group, which is the property management firm at Village Fair Mall, they adopted a school. Just on their own. It was outside the core 4 schools that we work with. 2 years ago, SCEDL, Stanislaus Office of Education, came on board as a mentor partner. I would argue that the press has been a partner because Judy Sly, as an editorialist, and B, have been very supportive of telling the story and telling the community of what we're about. We've actually had retired employees, people who are retired from other sectors, public and private, call in because of some of the coverage that we've received and want to participate in. Most recently, the Lions Club 500, and I have to say that, Lions 500 Club, it went from 5 people in year 1 to 9 last year. They're anticipating 12 folks at the session, and they adopted Shackelford School. We have a lot of partners. And, you know, we've been benchmarked by quite a few communities. Mendocino County looked at us a few years ago. We've spoke at 2 National Points of Light conferences as keynote breakout sessions. This doesn't happen with this kind of sustainability in the public sector too terribly often.
Oh, kids love it. They just love it. They look forward to it. They learn from it. They have a great relationship all year, and they do nice things for their mentors, and the mentors definitely do a lot of nice things for the kids. I'm really thankful that people take their lunch time to come out and connect with kids, and it's shown itself to be extremely valuable. The kids feel it like just personally, but they do really appreciate another relationship, and it's a relationship with an adult, and it's just, it's a great thing. It's completely positive, so it's really good. I'd really recommend it.
Take up the baton and join us with this. It's simple. It's easy. It's extremely rewarding, and it makes a difference.
First of all, I'd like to state that actually I'm lost for words here for a second, because I'm continually impressed with the innovation and the determination of the county departments to explain in working to meet the needs of the community. I don't know how many people realize how much effort they give of themselves in addition to the work for the county. But the reason the county is successful is because the greatest gift that you can give is of yourself. And we have people in Stanislaus County that recognize that. You know, in today's difficult economic climate, we recognize that now more than ever we need to work together. Collaboratively to achieve our goals. Although we continue to experience unprecedented reduction in county funding resources, we know that the need of our community has not diminished. The goal of this presentation today is to recognize and to celebrate the outstanding efforts of county departments and their partners for their innovative collaborative efforts. And I'm not aware if you realize that there's a plaque dedicated to the winning partnerships located right outside the chamber in the foyer. This year's winner partnerships will join last year's winner on that plaque. And there is a testament to the accomplishments over the years of the people of Stanislaus County. As you've seen in the video, six county departments submitted applications for Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors effective partnership recognition. The Department of Child Support Services submitted child support and temporary assistance to needy families partnership. This partnership focuses on creating open communication between agencies to ensure the best services are provided to the community. The department shares information in an effort to improve the collection of child support. The Children and Family Commission submitted Healthy Birth Outcome, HBO partnership. In response to Stanislaus County high infant mortality rate, an HBO partnership was developed to improve the maternal and infant health by providing services to women and teens at risk at adverse pregnancy outcome because of age, medical, and psychosocial factors.
This partnership also links pregnant women with their families to resource, increases access to service, and raises awareness about healthy pregnancies and birth. We also have the Community Service Agency submitting the Shaken Baby Prevention Program. The Shaken Baby Syndrome, SBS, prevention program uses existing healthcare system to provide training to new parents on how to respond to a crying infant. This program has undoubtedly saved many lives by assisting parents and preparing them for the challenge of a new child. We also had the Animal Services submit a partnership between their department and the Alliance Network. These two departments work together to prepare local job seekers by providing work experience at the animal shelter. The wages of these trainees are subsidized through the Federal Work Experience Program. Animal Services receives the benefits of the additional workers without additional cost to their budget, and the trainees receive valuable work experience and work skill development. As a member of the Recognition Award Selection Committee, I can tell you it was difficult in making a final decision, because each and every one has made a tremendous contribution to the county. And as you can see, there are many meaningful partnerships with impressive outcomes. However, there remains two partnerships were chosen by the committee to be the recipients of Stanislaus County Effective Partnership Recognition. And as I make announce the first recipient, I then will stand up and wait for someone to come forward and take the mic with me. But the Stanislaus County Food Processing Byproducts Use Program, and will the representative from that partnership please come forward? First of all, let me just say a few words, or read a few words. This innovative program has effectively protected our environment for more than 30 years while supporting the reuse of a valuable agricultural commodity. The strong collaboration between the Department of Environmental Resources, the agricultural community, local and state agencies, private industry, byproducts, haulers, and the local site operation was ensured the success of this valuable program. And a lot of people aren't aware of this. This is the only formal program of this kind in the state of California. This program has proven itself to be an outstanding example of collaboration with a common sense approach to protecting the ground surface water of California. As the world aggressively seeks solutions to deal with agricultural byproducts and the conservation of existing resources, the Department of Environmental Resources have taken the lead and been proactive in this area for the past 30 years, one of the great secrets of Stanislaus County. I commend the efforts of your agency to the effectively partner with the community and other government agencies to protect our environment for the future generations. Congratulations on your outstanding achievements. And would you like to say a few words?
Thank you. Yeah, I would like to say a few words. This program was in place a long time before I ever even came to work for the Department of Environmental Resources. But about 6 years ago, we hit a huge glitch in what was happening and occurring in our county. And that, even though we had a very formal partnership prior to that, what it did was it brought together
all of our dehydration sites, our land application sites, and our feed sites to come up with a solution so that we could address some problems faced to us by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And we had a new partner come on board during this time, and that formally was our board. Supervisor DeMartini and Supervisor Jeff Grover became a part of in helping to shape some of the direction that we took at that time and helping to solicit some input not only from our local politicians but also from our state politicians that helped us put together a program with the help of local universities, our partners who had been our partners for 30 years, to demonstrate to the Regional Water Quality Control Board that this program is effective at protecting surface and groundwater. And I can't thank the board enough for its support over the last 6 years. We finally got our approval after 5 years of working with the regional board last summer. And that is one thing that I was never quite sure that we would ever get. But we did get it, and we got it in writing, and so we were very grateful. Today we do have some of our partners in the audience, Jim Davis and Jeff Pike from Hunts-Wesson. He's one of our new partners in our program, and my staff here, they're the ones who do the day-to-day operation, and I wanted everyone to have an opportunity to meet Jamie and Vicki, or to see Jamie and Vicki. And I just want to thank everyone. This is one thing that I'm very proud of, personally very proud of what we've accomplished over the last 6 years, because we've done something that, and we didn't do it on our own. We had great partners, and it truly is a benefit to our local economy and to our farmers and to our industry. I mean, and I'm just grateful, and I want to thank the board again for their support in this program, because we couldn't have done it without you. So, thank you.
Congratulations, and may we give them a hand. Well, surprises come in packages of two. And so our second recipient this year is Stanislaus County Employees Mentor Program. And will the representative from that partnership please come forward? This program is an outstanding example of an innovation of sustainable partnership. Now it is its 12th consecutive year. The Employee Mentor Program has achieved over 6,000 hours of mentor time with over 400 employees who worked with the students on their own time to assist these students in improving their reading skills. Those who are mentored receive far more than assistance with their schoolwork. They are given a glimpse of the potential through the eyes of the mentor. In the words of one employee mentor, "When we open the door of hope for our children, they begin to see that anything is possible. And I don't know of any greater gift that can be given than that." Once again, giving inspiration and guiding people to become the person they want to be. I commend your efforts and congratulate you in receiving this award. This partnership focuses on creating open communication between agencies to ensure the best services possible. And I would like to say congratulations. And do you have a few words that you would like?
Very few words. I just would like to thank everyone on behalf of all of the mentors for this award, the supervisors and all of your support, the committee for your choice, and Keith Boggs for his program idea and tremendous amount of enthusiasm and effort that you've put into the program. You keep it alive for us. The Modesto 500 Lions, we have Jerry Cooper here, the ex-president, taking photos, for your participation in leading the way for all the other service clubs. We appreciate that. Vito Chiesa, Rick Robinson, for your active participation in the program as mentors. And I'd like to acknowledge and thank all the mentors that are here today as well. It's because of you that this award is possible, that the mentor program was able to achieve this. And extend, like Keith says, pass the baton. Have you take up the baton for all of you that are not mentors. It's just such a wonderful program. I can't say enough for it. Thank you.
Before I close, I'd like to recognize the wonderful efforts of the Recognition Committee members. These individuals volunteered to serve on the committee and did a fantastic job of reviewing the applications and making the tough decisions of which of the many outstanding partnerships would receive this year's award. And I would like to recognize the 2009-2010 Effective Partnership Recognition Award Committee. Please stand and come forward if you would, please. Judith Ray, City of Modesto. Jeff Reed, Keys Municipal Advisory Council. Gary McKenzie, Business Community Member. Curtis Grant, Member at Large, and I've had the privilege of being involved. So on behalf of Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors and the Effective Partnership Priority Team, I would like to present you with a token of our appreciation as a thank you for your dedication and commitment to the process. You have been an internal part of the celebration today, and I'd like to hand you a certificate at this time. But first of all, would you like to say a few words? Only if you wish. Okay. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody for being involved, and once again, this shows what Stanislaus County is made of. There are certain areas in this state, as things get tougher, it falls apart. I think this has proven once again that as things get tougher in Stanislaus County, we work together and become even a greater county than we were before. So we wish to thank all of you for your participation, and thank you very much. And next year, we look forward to those who, too, will enter into the program. Thank you very much. So would anyone on the board wish to approve the acceptance of report and the acknowledgement of accomplishments?
Yeah, I'll move that.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Pass. Okay, correspondence?
This board has received a notice from the California Department of Insurance regarding a state program called the California Low-Cost Automobile Insurance Program.
Okay. Recommend referring to Community Service Agency.
This board has received a copy of the vision for the Valley Report from the Valley Coalition for UC Merced Medical School.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received a letter from the DMC Foundation regarding the adult day care centers in Modesto and Interlock and the possible loss of funding through the Medi-Cal program.
Refer to the Chief Executive Office.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. And also, is there any Board of Supervisors report? Okay, CEO report.
So I do have a couple items to share with you. I would like to note that the state budget is now, or the fiscal year is now 55 days without a state budget. We don't seem to have any indication that Democrat and Republican leadership are moving towards a solution. So at this juncture, I would say it's fair to say that no end is in sight. I had a question from a board member yesterday relative to state payment to local agencies, and we just received notice yesterday afternoon that the state of California will begin withholding and deferring CalWORKs payments on September 1st rather than your original targeted date of October 1st for a 90-day period. This is anticipated to cost on a statewide basis approximately $400 million to county governments throughout California. The AB 1770, which is a Galgiani bill, Family Justice Center passed out of the Assembly on a 46-24 vote. That was the final hurdle prior to going to the administration. So so this bill, which would support a local Family Justice Center, is heading to the governor's office for signature. I need to make just a couple comments relative to our county budget. We have been actively involved in developing our 2010-11 county final budget, which the board will consider in September. As you all know from the discussions and the impacts to all county departments in the proposed budget, that we have very challenging times ahead of us. In addition to preparing the 2010-11 budget, staff have been actively working on the 2011-12 budget and developing a series of scenarios for 2012-13 as well. We anticipate that we will be outlining to our county departments in October projections for net county cost contributions for all general fund departments at the October department head meeting. We anticipate that those projections will include $15 million in operating cuts for the 2011-12 fiscal year, and our projections indicate another $12 to $15 million for the 2012-13 fiscal year. So we can't get comfortable with the fact that we have a balanced budget for 2010-11 because the challenges that we'll be facing in 11-12 and 12-13 are at the very least daunting. I think this is very relevant in this day of sharing with you departmental accomplishments. One thing that we have found, that I've found throughout my career, is that as times start getting very, very difficult, we, with organizational responsibilities, stop leading and start managing. And our challenge going into the 2010-11, 2011-12, 2012-13 is to not fall into that trap, not start managing our programs and continue to lead our programs. We need to be diligent in identifying and embracing the concept that is Stanislaus County's, and that is to be the best county in America. And we need to challenge ourselves. We need to challenge our organizations. We, as an organization, will look different, considerably different, in by the end of 2010-11, and we will look even more different by the end of 2011-12. We are challenged with the responsibility of remaking ourselves, redefining our priorities, and developing what we believe will be a sustainable model beginning in the 2012-13 fiscal year. We have a great deal of work to do, but as I'd indicated, we as organizational leaders don't want to turn into managers. We need to continue to lead. And I do want to express my appreciation to the Board of Supervisors during these very challenging times for your leadership and for recognizing that your role is not to manage, your role is to lead. Also want to thank the department heads who have participated in today's presentations and those department heads who recognize the value of working in the priority groups, supporting those priority groups, working collaboratively as a team, and then developing long-range solutions to meet the challenges of Stanislaus County for the benefit of the 525,000 people who live in this community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I ask the County Council to announce the closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This morning, the Board of Supervisors, sitting as the public authority for the United Domestic Workers, will have a conference with a labor negotiator. The agency negotiator is Richard Robinson, and the labor organization being discussed is the United Domestic Workers. This will be held pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. We do not expect any report out.
And that concludes the session.
Meeting's adjourned.